Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish. The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Boker Tov, good morning. Shavua Tov, how are you?
Boker Tov, Shavua Tov. Very, very interesting statistics from Dr. Anton Meyerberg about what goes on in Israel. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But first of all, because this is the week that we read about Noah's Ark, I thought it would be interesting and also relevant to talk about this ongoing debate about whether the remains of Noah's Ark have really and truly been found on the eastern border of Turkey. We are told, according to the Torah, that the Ark landed on the hills of Mount Ararat. And Mount Ararat is actually a dormant volcano near to the eastern border of Turkey. And a cartographer, Turkish cartographer by the name of İlhan Durupinar, discovered this boat-shaped footprint, what he claims was a boat-shaped footprint already back in 1959. Now, we have the Turkish research teams opposing the views that have been expressed by the American researchers, who claim that really there's nothing special about this location and it's just a figment of the imagination dreamed up by Durupinar and others who have helped him to discover the site. But apparently now 3D scans and new technology has been used, and they claim that they've uncovered a man-made boat structure just beneath the ground before even beginning any excavations, which, according to those people who believe in this particular site, claim that it really fits the description in Genesis, in the Torah portion that we read this week, about the size and shape of the ark. There is now work that's apparently being pushed forward to further develop and discover this particular site. I actually quite like the idea of, you know, taking pieces from the Torah, descriptions from the Torah, names from the Torah, and putting them to real live locations. We in Israel are very fortunate that we're able to do that a lot in Jerusalem, in the areas around Jerusalem, descriptions of things that things that are described in the Torah, and we can actually go along there and literally touch and feel the location, the site, the whatever was described in the Torah. And I really hope that these Turkish researchers are right. I hope that they do find the remains of something that looks like the Ark.
What's also fascinating is that around about 7:20 this morning, we spoke to an Emmy Award winner, Simcha Yakovici, who, because there was an article in the New York Post yesterday about having found Mount Sinai in Saudi Arabia. So we actually, it's so fascinating how we've been having this conversation as well in the last hour, not about the Ark, which is what you're referring to, but about Mount Sinai. Anyway,
I do love it. Yeah, I do love it when these things come to life in our, in our day. I do love it.
Yeah, absolutely right. Things are more mundane is the implementation of Israel's new coronavirus restrictions were delayed for 3 days due to the fact that the Ministry of Health website crashed. What happened here?
Well, I mean, who would, you know, when you look at the situation that we find ourselves in with this global pandemic, then you would say, like, we would believe almost anything that comes after this, right? And so now we have a situation where, because the Ministry of Health website crashed yesterday, we have a delay in the implementation of these restrictions. Basically, what's gone on is that as of yesterday, the old green passes that were valid until the end of December effectively were all cancelled, and new green passes have been issued to people who qualify for them. And those people who qualify for the new green passes are those people who have received 3 doses of the Pfizer vaccine, at least, and have at least a week has passed since their third booster dose has been received, and that the green pass will remain valid for 6 months following the receipt of the third booster dose of the vaccine. And those people who received the second dose of the Pfizer vaccine after October the 3rd, And a week has passed since they received that. And also those people who received the second dose of the Moderna vaccine, and a week has passed since they've received that, they are also entitled to a new green pass. And those people who are vaccinated but who are also recovering from corona, who've received their vaccine and also have unfortunately been unwell but fortunately recovered from corona, they will also be entitled to the new green pass. And those children who are under 12 who present a negative PCR test, these are the people who are entitled to receive the new green pass. And what happened was that all the other green passes were cancelled, and theoretically the new green passes were loaded up onto the Ministry of Health website yesterday, and of course everybody literally descended upon this website in order to try and get their new green passes. Needless to say, the website couldn't handle it. There were crashes, there were problems, and so the Ministry of Health said, well, we'll give you an extra 3 days to get this sorted out. It is significant because people who don't have green passes will be prevented from doing quite a lot of things, will be prevented from working in schools, will be prevented from going into restaurants, will be prevented from going into gyms, will be prevented from working in a number of different jobs that involve interaction with the public. And we can literally feel the government's attempt to keep things open, not to close things down. They're looking now for reasons why you don't have to go to quarantine, reasons why we don't have to close things down in order to keep things open and to keep things rolling. And of course, if you think about the statistics that Dr. Anton Meiberg mentioned earlier, which is that the incidence of corona in those people who've been vaccinated, and particularly those people who've received the third booster dose of the vaccine, the numbers are so much lower, so much lower. I mean, not even, it's not even on this planet so much lower than those people who have not been vaccinated, that the government feels that they are well within their rights now to say to people, if you haven't been vaccinated, we're going to limit you from doing certain things, not because necessarily they're trying to save those people's lives, which I think is also a very valid reason to put these restrictions in place. But I think it's more about trying to save the medical system, trying to keep the medical system functioning so that people who are ill, potentially even with illnesses that are not related to corona, will be able to get the treatment that they need. And by allowing those people who have not been vaccinated or have not been fully vaccinated to circulate around and do things freely, it just simply invites a massive amount of pressure on our medical system, because we have absolutely unequivalent data that just suggests, that proves that those people are much more likely to be ill and therefore much more likely to impose a huge pressure on our medical system. And of course that has a much a significant ripple effect across the whole economy.
It's something that I think every country is starting to deal with. And I know that we were asked the question, should people who are not vaccinated be allowed to even go to a shul, to a synagogue? You could extrapolate that to a church, to a mosque. Should a person, unvaccinated person, be allowed to attend services? I'd love our...
Well, in Israel, they're not allowed to. Right. In Israel, you are not allowed to. The shuls have been absolutely required to request green pass certificates from all worshippers who want to attend services inside. If you want to hold services outside, that's an entirely different story. But in Israel, you don't have a green pass, you can't attend. Simple as that.
Is that well observed, though? I mean, within certain, some of the communities that where the vaccination rates are not particularly high, is that adhered to?
Well, you know, it's all about who in the zoo. I mean, there are certain shuls that I know for a fact are very much adhering to it. I assume that there are probably those who are not being so strict. But the local area municipalities are required to police this. They are required to go in and send inspectors in to ensure that all of the places of worship involved are adhering to the rules.
I'd love your thoughts on that. 34519 or 0618951019. Should shuls in South Africa prohibit people, unvaccinated people, from attending indoor services? Your thoughts, please. The Israeli government ministers yesterday met with Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas in Ramallah. What was discussed at this meeting?
So this was really one of those meetings where we show that our governing coalition is made up of so many different factions, many of which really don't see eye to eye with each other. This is a classic case of an example of which shows that up. And the group that went to meet yesterday with Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas was a group from the Meretz faction, Meretz party, who are part of the government. And in fact, part of the group that attended this meeting, two of those individuals are actually ministers in the government, Minister of Health, Nitzan Horowitz, and also another minister of the government, a more junior minister, part of the Meretz faction, also was involved in this meeting yesterday. So this is not a meeting that was sanctioned by the government by any stretch of the imagination. We already remember that when Benny Gantz, the Minister of Defense, met officially with the Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas, with the knowledge of the Prime Minister, even that created ripples within the governing coalition. But of course, the Palestinian Authority wanted to use this opportunity to really go a lot more public. And in fact, Mahmoud Abbas has said that he would like to invite all Israeli ministers to talk with him following the visit of this Meretz faction. And of course, the Likud opposition used the opportunity to shine a light on some of the more negative aspects of this particular meeting, including the fact they claim that Minister of Health Nitzan Horowitz actually excused himself from a coronavirus meeting that he was due to have attended yesterday in order to travel to Ramallah to meet with Mahmoud Abbas. And of course, this was highlighted. And the other point that was highlighted, that during the course of yesterday, Mahmoud Abbas also called the family of a woman who was killed by Israeli police last week after she tried to stab a police officer in Jerusalem's Old City. And of course, that all happened on the same day that the Meretz faction met with the Palestinian Authority president. The other interesting thing was that it was published in one of the Israeli official websites and news websites that Mahmoud Abbas had apparently specifically mentioned his interest in talking with Interior Minister Ayelet Shaked, who of course we know is holds a much more right-wing view on things. And of course, she took to Twitter in order to express her views about this. Apparently, she wrote, "It won't happen. I won't meet a Holocaust denier who is suing Israeli soldiers at The Hague and paying murderers of Jews. Good night." Wow. That was a message from Ayelet Shaked. It couldn't be more blunt than that. Yeah, but of course, there is
pretty clear.
Yeah, well, I mean, she likes to make herself clear, and I think there's no harm in that. We know exactly where she stands on things. But the point is that, you know, what Mahmoud Abbas said is that we don't necessarily all need to agree with each other, but it would be nice just to get the dialogue going. Mm. You know, I think that there are more than a few people in Israel who would kind of agree with that view, that it's good to talk even if we don't necessarily agree with it. To each other, but it is good to talk. At the moment, however, Prime Minister Naftali Bennett seems dead against the idea of even holding a meeting to discuss anything with Mahmoud Abbas, particularly while he's paying families of terrorists who've recently been killed, paying money from the coffers of the Palestinian Authority to support them. And the view is that Yair Lapid, who is due to take over as prime minister in due course, holds a similar view, interestingly enough.